take a couple of minutes as we finish tonight. I want you to look at some scripture with me. And let's turn to Mark chapter 10 tonight. I mentioned this morning we were studying or looking at baptism. And when we look at that particular topic, you got an overview of baptism as we just made a little journey from Matthew chapter 3 all the way through Acts. And you get a good overview of what baptism is and what it is intended to be. But there are a lot of perversions of that, and that includes a number of things. And so I had two of those that I wanted to do tonight, and I'm not going to do both of them. I'm just going to do one of them. And so I'm going to do something a little backwards this evening. I'm going to preach some heresy for you, and I want you to correct it, okay? So I'm going to prove to you that infant baptism is all right, okay? I'm going to take you through another journey through Scripture, and I'm going to show you why I believe in infant baptism, theoretically. And then I want you to help me understand why that is not correct, all right? So we're going to do this a little backwards tonight rather than me simply laying it out there. I want you to pay careful attention, and I'm not going to be that long. It's about 10 minutes till now, and so I'm not going to labor this point because obviously I would have trouble defending it on my own. But I want you to see how this comes about, because often you'll see this tract out there that says, what does the Bible say about infant baptism? And have you seen that? What's on the inside of it then? Nothing. It's blank. And that is correct. But if I were in the Lutheran church or in a church that believed in infant baptism, I could actually say, now that's not true. There are some things in Scripture that there are reasons that I believe in infant baptism. And here would be some of the arguments that I would make. And so let me make my arguments for just a couple of minutes here. And then let me ask you to mull those over. And at the as we come to the conclusion of that, you help me out a little bit in clarifying some of these things. All right, so the first one I'm going to take you to is here in Mark chapter 10. And let's go to verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And this is something that is repeated in Matthew 19 and also in Luke 18. But Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer or permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, if we look at this passage, we'll realize that that word for children is very young children. Could even include infants in those. And here is the foundation for my belief that we should baptize infants. The Lord Jesus himself places his blessing upon these children. And it was clear that these disciples were rebuked because they did not allow the little children to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he was finished, laid his hands on them, and it very specifically says that he blessed them. All right, now I want you to go to another series of verses with me. Let's go to the book of Acts. Turn over to the book of Acts, and let's begin at chapter 11, we can actually go back and pick one of these up in chapter 10, but let's look at chapter 11 and begin at verse 1. It says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. And Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it in order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa. I have a wrong reference because I can't figure out how that backs up my argument there. Anyway, go to chapter 16. chapter 16. And a story that you're familiar with in chapter 16 is the Philippian jailer. And at the end of the story, when the Philippian jailer is comes out and he's talking with them, he tells them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And in verse 31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. All right, then verse 32, he spake unto them the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. So his whole family was baptized. You can go to chapter 18 of the same book, chapter 18. And we read this morning. This is about Crispus. And when it talks about Crispus in chapter 18, it says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And there again, it says that his whole house believed and they were baptized. And I didn't read this verse, but we could read about Lydia, the seller of purple. And it says of her, when she was baptized and her household. And so it tells us in these passages that the whole household was baptized as a result of the salvation of this one person. And beyond that, I'll tell you two other things that would be my filling in of the blank sheet that you give me when you say, what does the Bible say about infant baptism? The verses that I would put in here, I would add to them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, when John is talking about children, and he talks about dear children who know the Father. And there are children who certainly know the Father. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, you tell me that infants can't be baptized, but it specifically says of John the Baptist that he was filled with the Spirit from birth. And so if I'm arguing this position, I'm going to look at you and say, well, I've got some verses in here that tell me that I can baptize children, and that is a proper thing to do because I'm going to baptize my whole household. I'm going to initiate them into that Christianity, and I'm going to give them a good start. I'm going to give them the Christian foundation in their life. And so sometimes when you get a tract like that, what does the Bible say about infant baptism, and it's got nothing on the inside, it is technically correct. But if I'm going to make the argument, I'm going to go to some of these verses and I'm going to say, I've heard these preached, and here's my argument. All right? So that's my 5 minutes. Now you get 5 minutes. If I am giving you that argument, what are you going to say to me? How are you going to refute this idea that I'm saying to you that there is infant baptism? I can show you in Scripture cases where Jesus himself blessed little children, even possibly infants, and that the Scripture talks about John the Baptist being filled with the Spirit when he was an infant. What are you going to say to me? How are you going to refute that argument? So who wants to be first? All right, Susan, we'll get you, and then we'll come back to Jason. Okay.
Put his hand on and bless a child that is not accepting his doctrine.
Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
The households, you have instances of specific households. It's not saying any of them were infants. They most likely felt this as they were preached to, and they believed an infant cannot believe.
Okay.
Believe a child, though. Isn't it baptized a child this morning?
Mm-hmm.
A child is not an infant.
Okay. All right. Good points. All right, Jason?
I think of that Acts 8:36. And as they went on their way, they came into certain water, and leaving said, see, here is water. What then to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and the ground was in the water.
Yeah. And your point would be? Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had many infants say, I believe, other than I believe I want some food. All right. Ian. Very good. All right? All right? Yeah, a big difference between putting his hand on them and blessing them and baptism. They don't equate at all. All right, good arguments. What else do we have out there? Carol Pollard. Right. Yeah, no capacity to repent. And as Jason pointed out, no capacity to believe and indicate that. Okay? All right. Anything else? Let me give you an opportunity. Jason?
I just point out that when the Pharisees came to the baptism of John the Baptist, they asked him, they had him to show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we looked at that verse, or I think I quoted it. I don't think, yeah, we did. We actually read it this morning, that there was no fruit meet or fitting for repentance. He said, you bring forth fruit fit for repentance, and I'll baptize you. But he said, your hypocrisy is coming forth. In all of those verses that I read to you, how many of them dogmatically say that there was an infant baptized? Not any of them. None of them. Ian pointed out for us something that's very significant. When the Lord Jesus, in those three passages, takes those children, puts them on his lap, puts his hand on them, and blesses them, that has nothing to do with baptism. It does have to do with Jesus blessing them, and Jesus himself encouraging them, and he wants children to come to him. He is very much in favor of children being exposed to him and knowing him, but none of them talk about actual baptism. All right, now, let's go to those passages, and I think Susan pointed out, in those households, how many here could have their entire household baptized and not include an infant? You know, those people who are making this argument, well, the whole household was baptized, they must have had an infant in it. Really? How many have an infant in their house here? We're at one tonight? So we're at a place where, even if we ask in this room tonight, the whole household certainly does not in any way have to include an infant. As a matter of fact, I can give you a personal illustration. When my dad got saved, and it was Easter Sunday, and then a couple of weeks later, our whole household got baptized. The youngest one would have been my brother, and he would have been probably 12 years old. And so all five of us got baptized the same day, but it did not include, no, actually that's not true, my mom was already baptized, but the whole household, not including mom, the youngest would have been 12 years old. And so in each of those cases, there is nothing that means that we have to say that there is an infant in that child. As a matter of fact, percentage-wise, there is no reason to believe that it had to have an infant in there. Percentage-wise, they probably didn't have an infant in the house, and it would have certainly been older children, and very possible that when they talked to those people, they would have had an understanding of those things. What about the passage where I said that clearly, Luke chapter 1, verse 15, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. What do you say about that? Ron? Yep. Yeah. The filling of the Holy Spirit did not come as a result of baptism in John the Baptist. When was John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit? He was still in the womb. And so he was in water, but it wasn't baptism. And so here is a passage that has nothing to do with that again, where you're stretching Scripture and you're trying to argue a point that you already believe, and having already believed it, you now try to find Scriptures that back that up. And in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "And you, dear children, who know the Father, Well, children is the word technon. It is not the word for infant. It is children who can know the Father. And we know that from working in our own church, our own ministry, that children do and have the capacity to know God. And certainly it does not necessarily include infants. But I want you to see from this, and I knew we wouldn't have a lot of time tonight, but I think you can understand that somebody who has come from a background, whether it would be Catholic or Lutheran, there are a number of denominations and religions that do baptize infants. When we look at it, you and I have a firm grasp of what we went through this morning and what many of you pointed out as we looked at this, that when you study baptism, it is very clear that baptism follows or could even be simultaneous with affirmation of belief. That this person has demonstrated repentance, demonstrated faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a result of a conscious decision is being baptized to identify with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and is consciously choosing that life and that lifestyle, that I want to commit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ to live for Him in whatever I do. And obviously to us, we look at that and having had the opportunity to work through Scripture and have this knowledge at our disposal, we look at infant baptism and we're thinking, you've got to be kidding. You're going to bring this infant in and you're going to baptize him and you're going to think somehow something happens. But I want you to remember something. Somebody who was raised in either Catholicism or a Lutheran church or some of these other denominations that baptize infants, that is foundational to them. And to them, it is not some concocted thing where they just are trying to believe some wacky doctrine. They think that there is scriptural basis for this. And so to them, it is something that the Scripture is teaching and they're doing. Now, you will find when those people believe that, that they also treat it as a sacrament. Now, sacrament can have different meanings, but a sacrament, by and large, is something that imparts grace to the person. And so while I would say to you, when I'm baptizing something, there's no mystical transformation that happens in this person when they're baptized, a person who is raised in these other religions where it is a sacrament, they do believe that there is some kind of an efficacious work that takes place. So that when that infant is baptized, the Holy Spirit actually begins the work of conversion in that young person. Or he is Christianized. In Catholicism, a baby that is not baptized will not go to heaven. And so it is a scare tactic, and they believe that that baptism actually imparts grace to that young person, so he is Christianized. Now, he still has to deal with things in the future. But in their mind, they truly are thinking, I have a biblical basis for this. And those Baptists over there who are saying that there's no biblical truth to this, well, I can show you some things. And so you and I sometimes have to be aware of what the argument is on the other side. But while I look at it, and it is just plain old common sense to me that I would look at this and say, how can you think baptizing an infant is has any value whatsoever? To somebody from the other side, they have been brought up in this, and this is something that they have to wrestle with. It is a big deal to them. Because if their baby is not baptized, he'll spend an eternity in hell. That's what he's been told. And that's what he believes. And so you and I have to learn to teach the Scripture to people, to help them understand truth so that it can transform their life. We cannot just give a blatant answer of, the Bible doesn't say anything about it. We need to give good, solid answers and make sure that we understand Scripture. All right? So we're going to finish with that tonight. Sometime we'll go through the other one. There are a number of passages where it would seem, if you look at it, that you could prove that baptism is necessary for salvation, and it would be worth our time to look at those. Sometime in the future, we'll take the time to investigate those as well. But we're going to finish with that tonight. I appreciate Carrie being with us this evening, and I trust that you'll pray for her, pray for each of our missionaries, that God will continue to bless their efforts. Let's go ahead and stand together, and we're going to be dismissed in prayer. Now, Father, thank you for the time that you've given us. And Lord, tonight, you've given us truth. And as we leave here tonight and make our way to various places tomorrow, we will interact with people who are basing their belief on falsehoods. And Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see them, I pray that you'll open our hearts to love them, and I pray you'll help us to open our lips in order to convert them. There are some that we will meet tomorrow who will seem very resistant to truth, but I pray you'll help us to sow and then to have the privilege of reaping in the future. Lord, I thank you for the one who was saved this morning. I pray you'll continue to do a work among our people and a work among those that we have an opportunity to reach out to. Dismiss us with your blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.